The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold's dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations...
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for tuning in today. Today is Monday, August the 15th, 2016. Wow, year is already flying by. Summer is pretty much gone. A lot of people are returning back to school. First day of school for a lot of people. And so we're starting the new school year, and the end of summer is relatively near. But just want to say thank you all for listening today. And excuse me if I lost my voice. I had a very busy weekend, and we have a live show for you today. But just please bear with me. My voice is really, really bad. Had a couple of seminars and conferences that we had to do this weekend. So voice is a little gone, ladies and gentlemen. But, hey. Just want to thank you all for tuning in for this live show Monday. We are taping the show early because I have some obligations that I have to facilitate today on Monday. But so that means that you won't be able to call into today's show, but we're going to pick up today's show where we left off on Thursday. We weren't able to have a show on Friday. It was extremely busy. But we will continue the show that we had from Thursday today. But I do want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. And so let's get into some of the things of what's going on in the news now. But before we do that, got kind of sidetracked. Let's jump into the most important thing. Let's talk about how we can maintain and support Black Talk Radio Network. And you can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/crowdfunding digital black media. And there, you can check out the crowdfunding campaign that's going on right now in order to maintain and to keep Tando Radio Show and to keep all the other programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network on air. This is how we need to get some of our financial energy to this network so that it can maintain itself. So what you can do is go to the crowdfunding campaign that's right there on the website, and you can donate right there. And there's three ways that you can donate. You can donate by, number one, option number one, make a one-time contribution of $24.99 or less via PayPal or by sending a check or money order. And you can send a check or money order also for option two and option three, making a check or money order, make it payable to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. Once again, make any check or money order to the crowdfunding campaign. You can make it to make the check or money order out to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. That is option number one. And with option number one, you will receive the monthly statistic performance report for the radio station as well as social media operations via email. So give a good email. Option number two. Become, just for one penny more, become a one-time contributor of $25 or more. And with that, you will receive a free Black Radio Station Matters T-shirt as an appreciation gift for your donation and contribution. And the T-shirts, if you would like more than one T-shirt, they come in intervals of $25. So for every $25 that you give, there will be a T-shirt that you will be eligible to receive for that $25 donation. So if you want two T-shirts, it'd be $50, three T-shirts, $75, four T-shirts, $100, so forth and so on. Make sure all of your sizes will correspond with each T-shirt that you would be giving, and as well, make sure you leave a good email and mailing address, a shipping address, so that you will be able to receive your T-shirts in the appropriate, in a reasonable amount of time. Don't want any delays, unnecessary delays, to hamper you from receiving what you should receive. So make sure you leave a good email. I would also leave a telephone number, and as well make sure the shipping, your shipping address is there. Option number three, become a contributor of $25 or more on a monthly, as a monthly contributor, in addition to receiving the email reports from the radio network and the free Black Radio Station Matters T-shirts. You will also be eligible to receive gifts from the network from time to time, and those gifts are going to be coming out. Once again, make sure you have a great email. I mean, make sure you have an email, a good forwarding address, and a shipping address so that you can receive what you will, you're entitled to. So that is how we meet. That is how you can support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. So important to do that. So with that being said, let's go over to, we are no longer on Facebook. We are no longer on Fedbook, but what we have now, and you can look at it, just go to Black Talk Radio Radio Network's website, and you can see the new community, BTR Community. In BTR Community, you can actually get connected right there. It's on the right-hand margin on the website. You can start getting connected to our new, it's similar to Facebook, our new social media platform that we have. That's right there is BTR Community. Great, great. Thank you, Scotty. This is something that's so needed, and you can get connected right there. And how you can see it, what you can do is just go to the right-hand margin underneath the Black Radio Station Matters T-shirt that's there. There you'll see something that says coming soon, and it says get connected. You see two people dancing together. That is the community, the BTR community, and it's up and running as we speak right now. I no longer post on Facebook. I only exclusively post here, and this is where you can follow Tando Radio Show, some of the articles and the information about the shows, what we're going to be talking about daily. You can follow us there. I will, from time to time, only post in Facebook the show, what the show is going to be about, so that people can make the transfer over to here. Because we're going to be talking about it anytime. Scotty's not on today because, as I said, this is a live show, but it's being taped earlier. This is going to be previously recorded for earlier today. But Scotty will be on, and we'll talk about it here for our Tando Radio Show. He's already probably mentioned it, but I haven't talked to Scotty on air only once since. But we'll talk about this again, and I think it's a great thing if this is where we really need to be. So with that being said, let's check out what we put in BTR today. It was not that many posting because I was really, really busy, but I'm definitely going to get, and I'm going to be posting more. This is where I'm going to be exclusively posting. Some of the things that posted inside of Facebook before Fedbook will be posted here, but I have more Some of the things that I didn't want to post on Facebook, I will actually now post here at Black Talk Radio Community. So, first article, number one, America's addiction to mercenaries. And this is a good article. It comes from theatlantic.com. You can check it out in my commentary. This is very disturbing and troubling. Trend, which has roots in the new rule of law. You can make a case that this is really TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, in full operation before expansion. And basically, everyone, is that they privatized mercenary groups, and it's been done for a very, very long time. This article is really important, and you read between the lines, you can see what's going to be happening in the future. The Trans-Pacific Partnership that actually nullifies all laws, all agreements, all treaties, is the ultimate fascist state that is trying, that is actually been in place for a very long time. But the only thing is, there's nothing new, that they're just telling you that it's new. But the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this is one of the many roads that this is coming down. Just as if now you're starting to see toll roads all over the United States. You're starting to see privatize this, privatize that. And what they're going to do is they're going to take public funding, public energy, public labor source to actually facilitate the privatized profits and gain for individual corporations. And this will supersede all of your laws. So laws will no longer that are on the books and everything else. The overall corporation as a person has rights above and beyond what laws are. And believe me, why is this so significant? Because the overall slave program, as we move from a debt-based economy to an asset-based economy, is ramping up. And this is one of the inroads that is leading to what is going to be a part of the overall social structure that we will be that will actually be forced upon the general population to respond to, either by surrendering or by actually dismantling it by not giving it energy. And this is, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is already just telling you, but it's been around for a while and is going to continue to unfold. So check out this article. This is from economics to overall health care, which is, you know, in itself so flawed. You're going to see this spread out, and it's going to cross-pollinate into all forms, war and everything else. This is, you know, it, when I say everything else, from our food to our overall schooling structure for the children, to the overall employment structure for people, the new subjugation is going to be large. And what's going to happen is that people without assets are going to be under the Trans-Pacific Partnership rules that doesn't have to pay you, that doesn't have to give you workers' comp, that doesn't have to do this and it doesn't have to do that, because there are no laws to enforce against the right for a corporation to make a profit. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing more than slavery, and is going to extend itself in all forms and facets. So if you think that Trans-Pacific Partnership, if you think that what's going on in the world is not going to adversely affect you, you are so wrong. It already has and is only going to expand. It is going to expand itself in so many diverse ways where you will just think that I can't defeat it, so I might as well go along with it. And that is the facade and through fear that they want you to have. And they're going to expand this by war, by economic collapse, by wealth transfer, and by overall in putting into the system new policies, procedures, and rules, and changing the quality of life for individuals. No longer it's going to really go to ways and means. Your way of life is going to provide for others' means of life even more in a way that you've never, ever seen before. And it's going to continue to unfold because we are not doing anything to stop it. And this is one of the things that I think is in why we established Handle Radio Show. So check out that article. We'll definitely talk about that going on later on. Next article comes from TrueActivist.com. Secrets of the Elite, why Forbes' richest list doesn't include the wealthiest family on the planet. You can check out that article, but my commentary is that one very important point you should have, one very important point is you should have foundations established for your family. Some of the important economic requirements we do not engage in at our best interest. One of the reasons why you don't see these, because these families have foundations. And this is, I'm going to bring my brother, my good friend, John Black, and Larry Connors is going to come on to Tando Radio Show and talk to you about this, and because it's something that we have to engage in. And one, becoming your own bank, having the appropriate foundations for things so that you can protect yourself from what's coming and actually do and engage in some of the economic opportunities from having great leverage, and that is from having foundations and everything. So check out that article. Next one, article that I posted, comes from Reuters. Russia's energy minister says oil market talks with Saudi Arabia developing. And I said, now you know that the U.S. dollar will be cut out of any agreement. Fire next time. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, and that was my fire next time was actually a spin-off of, biblically, after the Noah's flood, that the promise next time will be by fire. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the fire. When the economic collapse of the global economy happens, just as you're seeing rioting throughout at different points and different times at a pace and at a frequency that you haven't seen in the United States. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when the economic collapse happens, the trade wars collapse happens, and I mean the trade collapses between international communities, then the war is going to happen. Once the economic collapse happens, you are going to see cities on fire throughout this country because of rioting. As this overall economic debasement and this move towards global war and this move towards global nuclear war one and to destroying the everyday person's economy, ladies and gentlemen, when the U.S. dollar is rejected throughout the world at a pace that all of the cash that's across the globe comes back and there's no purchasing power that you have, you will know what I mean by fire next time. It will cause fires everywhere. And believe me, this deal that Russia and Saudi Arabia are going to be penning is going to not be one that the dollar will be a part of. So what does that mean? The rest of the world is divesting itself of U.S. currency that you depend on for everything. Now you need to divest yourself and to re-leverage yourself appropriately, because what you work for today, the energy that you work today, yesterday, and last month will be completely lost, but it will be even worse. It will consume in the fire your energy of the future. These are some major times, major events, some major decisions that you need to make that's in your best interest. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about being scared. It is about being prepared, and it is about being wise to what's going on instead of being submissive and to allow yourself to be led by someone that doesn't have your best interest at hand. If you work for what you have, why are you going to allow someone to come in and to actually harvest your labor for their benefit? Many people don't know. Many people are unaware, because the system to maintain the overall subjugation of enslavement of mankind is deep. It's much been around longer than you have. And if you do not understand or look to or care to understand, to find out as much as you can to do something different, then you will continue to be, and we will continue to be, in the position of prosperity loss instead of opportunity seed, opportunity harvested to yield prosperity in the future. So very, very important that we do. Next article comes from Keeping Greece. Comes from KeepTalkingGreece.com. this is an important article to everyone. Please check this article out. I just was talking about this at a conference that I had. I told people about some of the things that are coming. And in the sovereign wealth destruction and bankruptcy that is going on throughout the world, this article that says that comes from Keep Talking Greece, Greece will have to declare to tax office even cash below 100 euro. The new confiscation of your labor is going to become through taxation. And if you read this article, it's really telling you about the overall sovereign loss. This is Trans-Pacific Partnership, ladies and gentlemen. The sovereign loss of nations. Now, you're going to have to report everything that you have below a dollar. This is going to be here also. And you're going to have to, they're also going to try to confiscate, and you're going to have to report your assets. This is critical for what's going on, because we're going from a debt-based economy, which has faltered, and no one has faith in it. Everyone is looking at every single person. I don't care if you have $1 million in the bank. You are not a millionaire. They are going to go from a debt-based economy, because they're going to say, doesn't matter how much cash you have, you are insolvent and bankrupt, because your purchasing power of that medium of exchange that you're using, that instrument of exchange that you're using, that currency that you have, is worthless. It used to have a purchasing power of $1. Now that $1 has the purchasing power of 5 cents. You're not going to give me 5 cents for what costs $1. But all you'll still have, all that most of the people still will have, is just the $1 that only has the purchasing power of 5 cents. This is critical. We are moving from a debt-based economy to an asset-based economy. Check out this article. We'll definitely talk about this a little bit later on this week. Critical, critical article. That's it. Next one. China to deploy lethal fleet of carrier killer ballistic missile destroyers. Very important. The South Sea of China, the Baltics, all of this is expanding. These are some of the articles that we have posted there inside of Tando's radio show's page with BTR community, Black Talk Radio community. So check out those articles. We'll post more throughout this day, but those are some of the ones that I were able to post today before we get into today's show. So today's show, we're going to pick up part three of the extraterrestrial biological entities' influence on Earth. This is about the Sumerian story of the Anunnaki, their overall influence within humanity. This is the account that the Sumerians have of the Anunnaki, which means those from the heavens that came. So just wanted to pick this up. That's what today's show is going to be all about. And just like I said, bear with me. My voice has been lost. I'll get it back today. But today's show, you won't be able to call into the network. We will be back tomorrow, have a live show at our regular scheduled time on Tando Radio Show. So if you have any questions or comments, we'll pick up. I'm not quite sure what the show is going to be about tomorrow. I need to have Brother Braggs on, but we will be back. But, of course, at any time, if you had any questions or comments about Thursday's show, about today's show, you can definitely give us a call tomorrow at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. Then hit *61. I'll see you in queue tomorrow, and definitely will bring you up if you have any questions or comments about some of the things that we posted today. And I think I made some postings. Last posting that I made, yes, was on Thursday. They weren't able to do any Friday or any this weekend. It was very busy. So it's back to school time in different places. Some children went back to school last week, and just want to say the best and make sure that you get an education that is going to actually balance out the school of obedience that our children are going to. So much, much love, much respect to all of our young people in battling their way through the deceptions of school. Please teach and instruct and inform and give our children the option to get a real education. So So with that being said, everyone, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's show. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA region number 9, used to be in, FEMA region number 5, used to be in FEMA region number 9, but we are in FEMA region number 5 now, coming to you live, and I just want to say thank you all for listening. We are going to, once again, please excuse, lost my voice, but today is August the 15th. It's a Monday, 2016. We have a live show for you that has been previously recorded earlier this morning, so you won't be able to call into today's show because of a busy schedule. I have some appointments that I have to make that are going to actually extending late into the evening tonight. So just had to start today's show much, much earlier, so you won't be able to call in, but there's still a live show that is going on now. So with that being said, what I want to do is I want to pick up where we left off on Thursday with the show that we were having. We're going to look at part three, the EBE, extraterrestrial biological entities, that they have an influence on humanity. That's for you to decide. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to hear something that is not brought to our community much. But if you look at some of the ancient writings of the Sumerians, which are on stone tablets, some people try to interpret it one way, and there's different stories. But I just wanted to bring you this story so that you can come up with your own conclusion, opinion, our thoughts, especially to look at some of the evidence that's there. And I was made aware of this story because of my overall investigation of the precious metals and how this was significant. Is, you know, and that's one of the things that I definitely wanted to know, and it allowed me to actually, it led me in my investigation to actually be introduced to the Sumerian story of the Anunnaki, which has been also has some biblical ties, but the Anunnaki story is much, much older than the Bible, because it was the stories of the Bible, or the writings of the Bible, because it was way before the overall Bible was actually put into manuscript itself. So this was from the culture and from the civilization, the Sumerians out of Mesopotamia, started the overall story of, and so many, and if you look, the connections between some of our organizations, social organizations, religious organizations, tie directly into this story in one way or another, in different ways, but that's all for you to decide. So what I want to do is pick up right where we left off, and let me just cue it up, and we're going to this gentleman, Gerald Clark. And this is talking about the genealogy of the Anunnaki, and just to give a story of them, and I think it's very critical for what's going on, and you can still see the influence of this story in so many ways. Culturally, you may not know, but this is where a lot of this, you know, comes from, and we're going to pick up from that. You know, I like to say, you know, the influence is so strong that you actually, for those of you, many of us, I don't particularly like wearing a watch, but for those of you that wear a watch, well, it was the Anunnakis that actually established the watch wearing, and that's where it came from. And so it's because they wanted to, in my opinion, they wanted to make sure that their schedule, because they were on a schedule for what they needed to do to save their planet and to maintain the overall enslavement and subjugation of humanity here on this planet, it had to be on their time schedule. So, just my opinion. So let's pick up this story where we left off on Thursday. Here we go. Let me cue this up and just bear with me. And once again, I just want to say today's show that you're hearing right now is not a live show. It's actually taped this show on August the 15th today, Monday, August the 15th, earlier this morning. But so that you won't be able to call in to the show from some of the things, if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make, write them down, jot them down, and then we'll pick them up on tomorrow, on Tuesday, on Tando Radio Show. So here we go. Let me chew this up, and we can pick up where we left off.
Joining us this edition of Leak Project. I'm your host, Rex Baer, and tonight we're going.
Oops, excuse me, one second. Let me.
Am I looking at stuff, and is this being?
Expose yourself to the knowledge and go through a process of determining what's true and what resonates with you. And usually it turns out to be an internal feeling that's unique to you, that something could be true to you and not true to somebody else. So it may not be meant for your path, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So that being said, I read it the first time and I found it pretty wild. And then I for some reason something stuck in there with me. If you applied some of the scientific thinking that we have now,
Oxa Human, then there's the, you know, Stonehenge and some of these things. It's like,
yeah, Göbekli Tepe was just dated at about 12,000 years old.
Oxa Human, then there's the, you know, Stonehenge and some of these things. It's like,
talked about having an encounter with they called the creator of all, who basically we would truly call God, you know, the source creator of all, or the infinite source, or whatever you want to call it. Well, they said they had an encounter with that being, and it turns out in the Emerald Tablets, Thoth calls him the creator of all, just as Enki does in his writings. So it's interesting that they chose that title. And in Thoth's writings, in my second book, he talks a lot about the constructs of a human. So, you know, we're looking for the manual, in essence. How were humans created in this crazy genetic experiment? What are the rules for this game, and is there a way out of this enslavement? Because everybody can probably take a detached perspective and look around the planet and see that the idea of freedom is kind of a farce.
Oh, really? I mean, just because it's like the land of the free. You know, it's funny because we do have a lot of really cool, I mean, advantages over some people in other countries, and I think it could be a lot better. I mean, certainly, it's gotten to the point to where more people per capita, I think, are locked up in America than any other nation in the world. So yet it's the land of the free, which is quite odd. But, you know, the thing about what you're talking about right now is I find it fascinating, because if this is really the history of our mankind, and if this wasn't, you know, tabloids written several thousand years ago, because this is one thing that I've talked to people about before as well, even if it's 10,000 years old, if the writings are 20,000 years old, if they're cave paintings that are 100,000 years old, it doesn't necessarily mean one is truer or more accurate than the other. However, because there is so much out there in different writings and texts that kind of correlate with each other from different parts of the world, then you can say, yeah, that's incredible. And one thing I wanted to talk to you about was the Emerald Tablets and Thoth again for a minute, because I've always been fascinated with those writings. Do you think so you do feel that those are legit and that wasn't just written by a very smart, eclectic...
You know, I've gone back and forth with this, and like Sitchin's work, and ultimately for all of us, it's true. You've got to expose yourself to the knowledge and go through a process of determining what's true and what resonates with you. And usually it turns out to be an internal feeling that's unique to you, that something could be true to you and not true to somebody else. So it may not be meant for your path, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So that being said, I read it the first time, and I found it pretty wild. And then I, for some reason, something stuck in there with me. If you applied some of the scientific thinking that we have now, that we didn't have in 1925, by the way. I mean, the idea of parallel dimensions and this model in the Emerald Tablets fits perfectly with string theory. I mean, my goodness, the concept of an avatar, the ideas of differentiating energy and matter to the distinguished level that he talks about. Some of these things that end up in the Emerald Tablets, the idea of using a power that you started to allude to earlier, of this supposed ability to manifest matter out of thin air. Well, apparently this shows up in the Emerald Tablets as well. So we're like, okay, is this all just myth-making, or was this true? And I went through this as well, and I had probably read them 100 times. And each time I would find corroborating evidence that couldn't possibly have been known by somebody at that time, unless they were very, very advanced. And my wife, Kristen, and I were just talking about that today, because there's naysayers on everything that comes out, you know. So you always feel like you're in a political campaign with people throwing you barbs and everything else. But ultimately, if you can find corroboration-level learning and evidence that's convincing for you, I don't think you can do any better than that. So for me, and I've read a lot of Thoth's writings, a lot of the writings in there coincide with the same character of this being that I've read in other sources. So for me, I believe they are true.
You know, and another thing too is I'm just right now even looking at 10 amazing structures that were built who knows how long ago. The first one is Pumapunka. And then I'm looking at, let's go down here a little bit further, the Nazca lines that I was talking about as well. And then you've got the Sacsahuaman. Then there's the, you know, Stonehenge and some of these things. It's like,
yeah, Göbekli Tepe was just dated at about 12,000 years old. So all of a sudden, you know, you're like, wait a second, that predates Egypt and Samaria as well. Like I told you.
Do you think they were Anunnaki then that built the stuff?
Well, I actually did some traveling back and forth to Turkey, and one of the first cities there that caught my attention was the one farther to the east, or to the west of Göbekli Tepe, and it's called Kızılhayık. And they found some similar features there that they found at Göbekli Tepe. But it's only supposed to be about 9,000 years old, but still, it was quite old. So I looked at this, and I started doing some research. It's actually what got me started into history, was doing business in Turkey. And I found out that the Hittites dated very, very far back into history, and they had a set of gods. I was looking to see if they correlated with the gods that ended up back in Mesopotamia after the flood, because you realize they would have been in this Fertile Crescent region on high ground up in the Zagros Mountains in that region, even further to the east, if they were part of the Hittite capital, which apparently these ones were at Göbekli Tepe and Kızılhayık. Well, they seem to have a very strong affiliation for the Hittites with their storm god, who was known as Iskar Adad. Well, he's one of Enlil's, he's an Enlilite, if you will. He's from that clan. So there's a direct tie-in to one of the offspring of Enlil to the Hittite capital. Okay. So I find that very, very amazing.
Another thing, too, is the all-seeing eye, or the Eye of Horus, has been, you know, talked about and broken down into different possibilities of what it actually is. What's your take?
Well, this goes all the way back to the Zoroastrian period, where Enki was known as He of the Sacred Eye. So he was the one who was called Farsighted Enki, that basically had the ability to probably use the electromagnetic spectrum, do all these things that we talked about, to interface with the race that he spawned. So this takes us to the Isis, Osiris, Horus myth that's so important to the Egyptian understanding. And by the way, if you look at the Egyptian Book of the Dead, Thoth, Osiris, and Isis are three of the key players in that story. Well, if you now listen to what I just told you from Sumeria, Thoth, who was Ningxeda, was a geneticist who did the genetic upgrade, okay? He got appointed to be mankind's teacher. Sound like the messenger of the gods to you? Pretty much the same title, right?
Right.
And Isis was the medical officer and half-sister to Enki. So if he had a child with her, and by the way, I truly believe after much research that Osiris was another incarnation of Enki. He was known as Ptah, the developer, in the early dynasties of Egypt. Now, we're talking, you got to go back 50,000 years ago when the Egyptian civilization first spawned, according to their records, from Atlantis, okay? So Enki, I believe, was Osiris. His half-sister, Isis, was the other person in that story. And Horus looks like it was a new being that was kind of in line to rule because of being from the father and the half-sister. And, you know, who knows what kind of conflict that brought up between the Enkiites and the Enlilites. And by the way, they fought a lot over this very kind of thing. So I believe Horus, if you read in the story, he was very powerful, and he was given the rulership over Egypt after he smote Seth. Well, he also had some interactions with one of the other main characters, who was Thoth, who built the vessel for him to go and battle Seth and win. So here Ningxeda, Thoth, and his father Enki, and his half-sister Isis, all in this story. And now it'll start to all make sense to you when you realize who they really were. Okay, and this is where it gets really difficult for the idea of these beings having avatar bodies and that they could have more than one. This is the crazy part of Thoth's teachings, is they would go into a stasis state and be able to roam out of their body like an out-of-body experience and occupy any avatar host that was of their genetic, had their genetic mark on it, right? That's all of us.
Now, you said Seth, or did you say Set?
Set.
Okay, because there's now the Church of Set, and this is based on the ancient Egyptian deity, and I guess you could predate that to the Anunnaki, but the reference to Set, it seems as if that particular deity is different than the others, and it certainly now is looked at as black magic, very dark, satanic, Luciferian.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of different names you could put to it, but what's your connection there?
We got to do a couple more names.
yeah, I mean, of course.
So
please,
we
do.
God table, so we know who the main players are. So now you realize Isis is the Mary Magdalene figure, who's the mother of humanity, right, in the real story.
Right.
Enki was the genetic creator. Even though he's not God, he knows there's a creator of all. So now you've got two new creators you got to deal with. One's a scientist, and the other one is the source of all, which he venerated, by the way, which is quite interesting. So the other player that we didn't talk about was some of the main children of Enki and Enlil. The firstborn of Enki was Marduk. He was the chief deity of Babylon. He didn't belong in Babylon. He was in Enlil's territory. That's why they went to war. Babylon was in the Mesopotamian region up where Iraq is now. Well, that belonged to Enlil. He was a very powerful deity, by the way. And he ended up actually defeating Enlil in approximately 2000 BCE and took over the Anunnaki Council rank of 50, which for them was the Lord of the Earth. So it went 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 for the men, and then 55, 45, 35, 25, like that for the women. And there were six men and six women. It was balanced. Okay, so So now we're starting to get these biblical histories. We know who Allah is, who is Nanarsin, who is the crescent moon god that is now followed by Islam, right? Now we know that Enlil is behind the god of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's propping up the Jewish state and America. Okay? All of a sudden, we talked about Marduk, but he disappeared, right? Or is he around? So all of a sudden, you have to then ask yourself, are they here? Did they leave? This main body force that we're describing right now did not leave. They stayed here. Now, whether they took interim voyages to Mars or the moon to set up way stations or do whatever, that's possible, but they're still here. And they're running the show, just so you know. Speaking of Saturn, the holiday of Saturnia in Rome was a holiday that was associated with the god Apollo, eventually. Well, Apollo was none other than Ninurta, who was Enlil's premier warring son. Okay? So now all of a sudden, these Greek gods, you realize, came exactly from the Anunnaki Council. The Greek pantheon came from the Anunnaki Council. Okay?
Okay, like Medusa...
Well, she wasn't a primary Olympian goddess. There were only 12. Remember,
true.
Then they had all the minor ones, and these are all their kids, okay? All the ones that may have been born directly of two gods, or more likely, if they were demigods, they were born of a human and one of these Anunnaki.
Let me jump in real quick. Each planet in Greek mythology represents a certain god, you know, and that's one thing that I'm wondering is, how is there a connection there? I mean, I know if you look at...
I put this in my God table. You beat me to it. So we started out in Sumer where we had Enki and Enlil and Ninmon and Hartzog and Ninurta and blah, blah, blah. Did I say Inanna? I meant to. Okay.
Okay.
There were other ones as well. Well, when you go over to the Greek, you end up with the Olympian gods. But when you went to Rome, you ended up with Jupiter, who was Enlil. Poseidon, or Neptune, was Enki. They claimed these planets, by the way, in the Enuma Elish as well. They already had laid claims on these. And I believe Uranus belonged to Anu, and on and on and on. And Mercury belonged to Ningxida, who was Thoth. Okay. So once you get this table in front of you, you can see the darn name and what culture they were in. It'll make a lot more sense to you. And then the continuity of those attributes is clear through the cultures and the symbols too, by the way. Look at Thoth's Caduceus that came up in the Garden of Eden because his father had it before he gave it to him, right? This winged staff with two snakes around it. Well, this ended up with Thoth in Egypt and also with Hermes in Greece. He's still carrying that same symbol. So if you pay attention to the symbols, you can also, a lot of times, pin down which one of these guys it is. Now look at the trident that's carried by Poseidon. Okay, that was Enki's. So you start to see these symbols, and you're like, okay, well, they clearly had a set of coat of arms or symbols, so you can start to figure this out.
Right, and I'm looking at the Norse gods and goddesses right now, like Odin, Asir.
All those ones, I have a table on my blog that lays out who those are based on who I think they were from the Anunnaki. And I've started to do this with every culture because it just keeps coming up.
Now, do you think there's a spiritual connection as well, or some type of metaphysical connection to these planets, or is it just real estate for them? They've got a deed to that planet, kind of like in Jupiter ascending.
No, I think there is a energetic connection that if you basically line up planets and put them in the energy field of the Earth, you can change the resultant energy that you get here without getting too complicated. So, if you were born into a zodiacal sign that had that particular energy at that time, it may have some interaction with our DNA that creates the archetypes. And this was a design construct from Enki, who also did the zodiac. So, you know, so these ancient methods that they use for tracking the stars, designing their avatars, keeping them in check, we're just now getting sophisticated enough where we can actually even talk about these kind of concepts. Genetic engineering, right? So even the idea of a energetic barrier, like was shown in Star Wars, where you could keep beings out and other ones in, well, look at what's happened with Boeing and some of these other defense contracting companies. They're actually filing patents because they now understand how to do that. So as our incremental knowledge grows, the idea of the Anunnaki story becomes even more believable.
And you think they're still alive and well, and they're the ones that are still controlling the scenes, like Enlil and Enki?
I do. In my first book, I posited the question, will the Enkiites find a way to thwart the Enlilite push for a new world order? And, it's not just Enlil, okay? He was kind of the great destroyer, by the way, in the past, and he was associated with the Temple of Zeus, which was in Pergamum, which was called the Seat of Satan, okay? So he was your Satan figure, the great destroyer. Well, look, he portrayed himself as God in the Old Testament. Isn't that the biggest reverse lie you've ever heard? Well, that's the truth. And the one made out to be the devil is actually your benefactor and creator, at least from a genetic standpoint. That doesn't mean from a higher energetic evolutionary standpoint that you shouldn't be seeking to live according to the tenets given to you by the creator of all. If you want out of this enslaved simulation that the Anunnaki created for us, if you don't, just stay here, be reincarnated into a slave and keep doing it.
Well, now let's talk about this for a minute, because certainly if you look at quantum entanglement, physics, if you get into, there is no finite point, really. It's all just based upon vibrational frequencies. Solid matter is really controversial, yet we certainly, when we sit down in a chair, we don't fall through the chair, then through the floor. We don't put our hand through the wall, typically, unless you're having an out-of-body experience, which some people do. You know, so a lot of people talk about The Matrix, and I think that was a great movie to kind of relate some of the possibilities that are out there. But are we in a matrix? Is this construct that we're in literally like a simulation? And do you think that when people go through that tunnel into the white light, that's the reset button, and then it brings you back into this construct? Because there's a lot of speculation there.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing that speculation. It's like the final fear that you're going to be tricked at your death. That's funny. Well, let's talk about our let's go back to our senses just real quick. Our eyes can see from 400 to 700 nanometers, not very far. Our ears go 0 to about 20 kilohertz. Our brain waves go from about a half hertz to anywhere from 20 to 60 hertz, depending on who you read or who you measure. So what I'm telling you is we have a very limited experience of what's out there. And what's out there isn't a direct mapping. I mean, even the visual system goes through a crazy polar to rectangular coordinate transform before it shows up into your memory banks in order to map little symbols that represent what you're seeing in the outside. So it's not like a projector screen, okay? It's an interpretation. Your brain is interpreting through the synthesis of your sensors what's going on around you and what's out there, what's real, what's not. So if you were designed with a set of sensors to only see a certain limited set of what's going on, to me that's an enslavement, at least from a sensory standpoint, first and foremost.
Well, do you think the Anunnaki can see with see 100% of the light spectrum here, you know, from 0 hertz to 100 quadrillion kilohertz? I mean, what's your thought about that?
Well, I think they actually come from a higher dimension than we do. And when they come into this plane of existence in the third dimension, I believe they have to take on a body. And according to their writings and thoughts as well and many others, they're avatars. They can create a body that looks any way they want to. Now, this is the really interesting part to me is, how is this avatar created? Remember we talked about Enki creating the first one in the Atrahasis account, and that turned out to be our Adam, right, or our Damu. Well, uh-huh. Stop and think about this. There's a concept that, like you said, all things are basically a vibration. The material world is illusory. Really, it's mostly just frequency with bonds, you know, various bonds between these little particles, but most of it's free space. And everything is controlled by frequency, including the brain, the speed of light times the wavelength, or the wavelength times the frequency creates the speed of light. So there's a frequency component in every aspect of us and all material. So this is why a lot of traditions would teach that the material world is transient and it's not real. It's not the...
Okay, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you have any questions or comments, definitely save them for Tuesday, August the 16th. You can give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. So we're definitely going to take a look at some of these things. So we're going to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break to pick up.
Tab. Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this edition of Leak Project. I am your host, Rex Baer. I think they're still alive and well, and they're the ones that are still controlling the scenes, like Enlil and Enki?
I do. In my first book, I posited the question, will the Enkiites find a way to thwart the Enlilite push for a new world order? And, it's not just Enlil, okay? He was kind of the great destroyer, by the way, in the past, and he was associated with the Temple of Zeus, which was in Pergamum, which was called the seat of Satan. Okay, so he was your Satan figure, the great destroyer. Well, look, he portrayed himself as God in the Old Testament. Isn't that the biggest reverse lie you've ever heard? Well, that's the truth. And the one made out to be the devil is actually your benefactor and creator, at least from a genetic standpoint. That doesn't mean from a higher energetic evolutionary standpoint that you shouldn't be seeking the you know, the to live according to the tenets given to you by the creator of all. If you want out of this enslaved simulation that the Anunnaki created for us, if you don't, just stay here, be reincarnated into a slave and keep doing it.
Well, now let's talk about this for a minute, because certainly if you look at quantum entanglement, physics, if you get into, there is no finite point, really. It's all just based upon vibrational frequencies. Solid matter is really controversial, yet we certainly, when we sit down in a chair, we don't fall through the chair, then through the floor. We don't put our hand through the wall, typically, unless you're having an out-of-body experience, which some people do. You know, so a lot of people talk about The Matrix, and I think that that was a great movie to kind of relate some of the possibilities that are out there. But are we in a matrix? Is this construct that we're in literally like a simulation? And do you think that when people go through that tunnel into the white light, that's the reset button, and then it brings you back into this construct? Because there's a lot of speculation there.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing that speculation. It's like the final fear that you're going to be tricked at your death. That's funny. Well, let's talk about our senses. Let's go back to our senses just real quick. Our eyes can see from 400 to 700 nanometers, not very far. Our ears go 0 to about 20 kilohertz. Our brain waves go from about a half hertz to anywhere from 20 to 60 hertz, depending on who you read or who you measure. So what I'm telling you is we have a very limited experience of what's out there. And what's out there isn't a direct mapping. I mean, even the visual system goes through a crazy polar to rectangular coordinate transform before it shows up into your memory banks in order to map little symbols that represent what you're seeing in the outside. So it's not like a projector screen, okay? It's an interpretation. Your brain is interpreting through the synthesis of your sensors what's going on around you and what's out there, what's real, what's not. So if you were designed with a set of sensors to only see a certain limited set of what's going on, to me that's an enslavement, at least from a sensory standpoint, first and foremost.
Well, do you think the Anunnaki can see with see 100% of the light spectrum here, you know, from 0 hertz to 100 quadrillion kilohertz? I mean, what's your thought about that?
Well, I think they actually come from a higher dimension than we do. And when they come into this plane of existence in the third dimension, I believe they have to take on a body. And according to their writings and thoughts as well and many others, they're avatars. They can create a body that looks any way they want to. Now, this is the really interesting part to me is, how is this avatar created? Remember we talked about Enki creating the first one in the Atrahasis account, and that turned out to be our Adam, right, or our Damu. Well, uh-huh. How do you... Well, now stop and think about this. There's a concept that, like you said, all things are basically a vibration. The material world is illusory. Really, it's mostly just frequency with bonds, you know, various bonds between these little particles, but most of it's free space. And everything is controlled by frequency, including the brain, the speed of light times the wavelength, or the wavelength times the frequency creates the speed of light. So there's a frequency component in every aspect of us and all material. So this is why a lot of traditions would teach that the material world is transient and it's not real. It's not the real truth. Okay, and this comes from several traditions. Well, from a science tradition now, if you look at it and say, could what I'm seeing and touching and feeling with the limited sensors that I have, remember, I could train a robot to touch something, perceive the amount of back pressure, and to say, well, that's a solid or a liquid. So we put all these labels on things in our holographic simulator, okay? We come up with a common understanding what a rock and a tree and all these things are and how they interact with the forces. So we could describe an apple falling from a tree and call it this gravity force that enacted on it, but we didn't know what it was. And we still really have just now gotten to the point where we can measure a gravity wave just this year, from what I understand. So you with me? So,
oh yeah.
At this point, if I were to create a being that could see in this wavelength, then basically I've stuck them into an environment that was either optimized for them or they were optimized for that environment, one or the other. Okay? And now this gets to the really deep question. And I know you probably saw Hunger Games and maybe saw the movie The 13th Floor that talks about being in a simulator, in a hologram.
Right.
Well, in the Emerald Tablets, Thoth talks about the creator of all's constructs, where he created time, or he or she, the creator of all, he doesn't call it he, and also created the laws of matter. So I got really interested in the laws of matter, because ultimately what you and I are saying is the same thing, is that all matter, whether we perceive it to be solid or not, is created from fundamental particles that are stitched together through various bonds. Okay? It's energy, energy holding it all together. Well, we know that energy equals mass times the speed of light, according to Einstein squared. So there's a direct relationship between how much plutonium you have and how much bang you get when you explode it, right? And we can calculate this because of that simple equation. Right?
Right.
So at this point, imagine that these advanced beings, the Anunnaki, decided to create a meat host that's going to be using these sensors to navigate its way through this environment that they happened upon, or they were able to see at a, like you said, maybe at a much different spectrum than we could. As a matter of fact, if they could be in the sixth dimension, they don't even need a body. So they can take on a body if they need to, and if you don't have a body, you're not constrained by time. So I don't think they're constrained in spectra either, so they could see whatever is there.
So this is like a cosmic video game to them.
Exactly, exactly. And they're the game masters, and we're the pawns that are fighting their wars, building their buildings, occasionally stumbling on some esoteric knowledge from the Vedas or wherever that allows us to have an energy experience to be at the same possible frequency that they're on and have, I don't know, some form of communication. And many people have reported that.
Yeah, I had a guy on here, the Leak Project, a couple weeks ago, and his name's Boris, and it's really cool because he literally will go outside. He works in Brooklyn, and he'll go out during the day when literally he says he makes contact with these entities, and he goes outside, and you can see these lights that'll show up, and they'll start changing colors, and then it'll get like metallic and then purple and then white and change shape and do all these weird things, and it'll hang out for 15 minutes 20 minutes, and he'll bring his coworkers out, they'll look at it. I mean, a bunch of people see it. It's downtown.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, now ask yourself this question. If you know that there were forces here that were benevolent to mankind from the Anunnaki, and those that were not so happy with them that wanted them all wiped out, how do you know which one's up there flying around its little saucer as you're luring it down there to have an encounter with you? It's very important to kind of know when you get to this level, if you're going to play with entities of this powerful, it's probably good to know which ones you're playing with, because you could invite something into your lap that
hey, look, there's a bear. Let's get it some honey. And let's...
Yeah, all you got to do is give them permission, and guess what? They can walk into your meat host and take you over.
That's a good point, man. That's
In the mid-80s, when they were going on witch hunts, that's part of the knowledge that they had, is they knew that the watchers, these beings, have the ability to take on avatar bodies. And they called it possession, you know. And for that matter, I want to make something else clear. We got all our characteristics from the Anunnaki, from serial killer to saint. They had the same thing. They had beings that were really benevolent, really wise, and they had people that you probably should have kept them in a cage. So what didn't we answer about the Anunnaki?
Okay, Coneheads.
Coneheads. One of my favorite movies, absolutely favorite movies.
A classic, yeah, indeed. Dan Aykroyd played that very well. I remember back in Saturday Night Live when they would have it was Halloween, and then people would show up at the door and they'd give out beer and eggs.
Oh, I know. That was a very clever movie. Whoever thought that up.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my favorites, especially after you've heard the Sumerian stuff, then go back and watch again. It's really good.
Makes it even better. Cool.
Yeah. So, one thing we didn't really talk about is what's going on with the New World Order and where do we fit in? So part of that has to do with the term limits that the Anunnaki set up for themselves. And whether they played nicely and decided to follow it or didn't was kind of hit or miss. So you realize all these temples they set up that are aligned to the equinox and to the solstice, was done to keep track of where they were in celestial time, because they were using the zodiac as their term limits. Each zodiacal age, it seems like they had some arrangement to change commands. So now that we're changing from Pisces to Aquarius, we should expect to see major changes going on in the constructs of the Anunnaki Council. And it's happened in the past, and I believe it's happening right now.
Okay.
So knowing who's in line to rule and who was ruling will kind of help you understand where humans fit into this game that we want to play called the evolution of consciousness and getting past our enslavement to what we see as the Garden of Eden or heaven experience, whatever it is we perceive, you know.
And that's another thing I've often asked is, was religion created to be a prison of the mind to keep people in this construct? Because in many ways, when somebody that's religious says, I picked up this book on mysticism, and then somebody else is going to say, oh, well, you know, that's of the devil, you're satanic.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't really expand your mind a lot of times if you're within that, in that realm.
Yeah, well, ultimately, the truth that I've discovered about religion is, unless they're leading you to the place where you're having an internal experience, and I don't, it doesn't matter about the building or how much you're paying in your dowry to them or any of that, unless they're leading you to a place where your energy is changing and you're having a wings of Mercury experience, such as your pineal glands firing, you're having an experience with your true creators and connection back to the creator of all, you realize you're an immortal being, that you've been lied to and told that if you do this and do that, somebody will come back and save you at some point in the future. Give me a break. All religions I just told you, at least the three major ones, came from the lineage of Abram.
What about Hinduism?
Well, Hinduism, actually, we didn't go into that deeply, but Inanna was the other being when they drew lots that was given the region of the Indus Valley. So she went over, and so the sacred goddess, I believe her role, knowing her attributes, and I did a god table for the Indian religions as well, and it's not perfectly complete, but it also ties into the planets. She was Kali, and this fits her persona exactly, as she was involved in many, many wars in Mesopotamia. She was definitely the seductress and also a lethal black widow, as far as I'm concerned. Ask Gilgamesh, who was lured into her lair in the Epic of Gilgamesh. He wouldn't even go. He was scared of her.
Now, Native Americans across the globe, it seems like, they're just being systematically destroyed. Their culture, the people. Yeah, I know there's some nice casinos out there and stuff, but in reality, the majority of the Native cultures, not only here in America, but everywhere, just seems like it's withering away. And I've often wondered why. So do you feel that maybe the natives had more of a connection to Source or something that the Anunnaki just don't want around, so they're trying to eliminate that to make sure that it's just out of the history books, I guess?
I do think that's the case. And if you look into some of their origin stories that goes back to Aztlán, it sounds a lot like Atlantis, right, where these seven tribes spawned the Aztec race and many others in Mexico. This was significantly connected to the being Quetzalcoatl. Well, Quetzalcoatl was another name for Ningxia Thoth. That was his other AKA name. So when you realize that and why the Mayans were probably slaughtered by the followers of the orders that were given to them for Cortez and Pizarro, who was under the Christian rule. By the way, I want to make it clear that the Christian God that came in with the Roman czars was not Enki, it was Enlil. Everything in Rome was under Enlil's command. So you want to see what a New World Order could look like? Go back to there and see about circus and bread and complete tyranny. That's what you're going to be in for if this change of command doesn't go well.
Have you read Revelations?
Absolutely.
So, fascinating book. I probably read it a dozen times. And, you know, One of the things in that book is it talks about the New Jerusalem that descends from heaven, and it's described as like this cube. I think of the Borg cube with just more emeralds and rubies and gold around it versus this dark, you know, box per se, because that's kind of how it's described in the Bible, and it talks about these giant locusts with breastplates of iron that go around.
Like an Apache helicopter, right? Listen, yeah. I want to back up something just real quick before we do the Bible sense anymore. And I do quote the Bible quite a bit, but I use it to point out significant evidence, and there's a lot of truth in it, so I don't want people to hear me say it's just evil. You need to understand that if the deity who was in charge in Rome had editorial oversight on every document that went into the composition of the canonical Bible in the Council of Nicaea, which was released from Rome, okay, you're in denial, because when you realize who Enlil was, listen, we just said he was playing the role of Satan. He was the great destroyer. He doesn't like mankind. He wants us gone. He thinks we're genetically inferior. So when you realize he had editorial oversight in laying out these destructive prophecies in the Bible, everything from the destruction of Damascus and Isaiah and all the other ones, you know, if they could see an entire zodiacal house, you think they couldn't make these kind of predictions and make them come true? Easy. It's a war plan. And I want to reemphasize one other thing that I didn't get to bring up, is that in the warring plan between the Enkiites and Enlilites, and this is where the Christians usually get very aroused, go to Egypt, just the south where Enki's headquarters was. Ningxida was there running mystery schools. He had been for a long time, Thoth, Ningxida. And he was graduating these beings, raising their consciousness against what Enlil wanted for his close chosen people, the Jews, in the Levant, okay? So anytime you take a people and go, you're my chosen ones, and you prop them up like that, wow, that creates a separation in us and them, and it's a way of dividing and conquering and creating wars. And it's been going on ever since, okay? So I want you to understand, though, that Enki's plan all along was to allow us to have access to higher consciousness through these latent circuits, through the chakras that he created in us, and the endocrine system that gets turned on by that, this energy and matter. He wanted that for us. So when this being in the New Testament was sent in to teach these humans a better way to wake up and access this kingdom of heaven that everybody wants, he was very specific in saying it was the kingdom of heaven within you. Okay, this is where the energy meets matter in you, and this is at your chakras and other, you know, organs in your body, where you can have this experience of the universal source that the religious organizations don't want you to have. They want you to go and be entertained and give them money and do all those things, but you show me one of them where they're actually trying to get to a higher spiritual place by meditating, doing yoga, doing all the things that we know through history have worked to still yourself and get to that place with a brainwave change. That's how it's measured, it is a brainwave. If they're not doing that, then yeah, they're an enslaving organization that's leading you astray, telling you not to do anything now because that'll be taken care of when some being comes later at some future point in time. Wow. That what a way to disempower people from doing something now. What they have, you know, the constructs that were given to them to deal with it right here and right now. Well, and that's so important.
It is important. And even in the Bible, it says that Jesus says to his people that all these great things you've seen me do, you're going to be able to do and more. And then yeah, I've talked yeah. to, you know, so that I think is.
It shows up in the book, The Masters of the Far East. Wow. Okay. What a book. You I highly recommend that one. I haven't got all the way through it, but it's amazing. Well, I want to back up and tell you another couple of AKA names for Ningxida. He was also known as Buddha. He was known as Jesus. He was known as Melchizedek and several other names. Hermes Trismegistus. Okay, all these other names. He was the wizard Merlin and all those shows.
Abram Elman Mage.
He was the tarot cards, okay? He was our appointed teacher, he's playing all these different avatar roles with these primitive workers trying to wake us up. That's his job.
So, and you've heard of Moloch.
Yes, I have.
Have you been able to put a connection to that name?
Yeah, and that brings up something in the headlines that we ought to talk about. In Palmyra, Syria, there's a set of ruins there that were venerating Bel or Baal. Well, this was another name for Marduk, who was the chief deity of Babylon, Enki's son, who kind of went to war in a territory that didn't belong to him, and somehow I think they ended up at odds with each other, Enki and his son Marduk. So, all of a sudden now you see that there's a temple after this ISIS group, right? Think about how they're smearing the goddess who created mankind in her womb, Isis.
Right.
Affiliated with a bunch of barbarians, right? So this temple, this portal, whatever this arch is, the venerating Marduk that was affiliated with so many really disgusting physical acts, everything from child sacrifice to orgies, is going to now be built in New York City by the 17th of this month, so that it can be available for the festival of some Baal's festival that talks about light. Do you know what the name of this festival is? I can't remember. Baalith, I think, is the name of the festival. It happens on April 31st to May 1st, somewhere in there. Well, they're trying to have these arches set up by then. So this all of a sudden goes, wait a second, not just two of them, they're talking about 1,000 of them. This is way over the top, okay? I haven't talked about this much, but...
Okay, everyone, what I got to do is that I'm going to play this all the way through. We're going to skip this one commercial break, play this all the way through, and when it ends, that's going to be the end of Tando Radio Show for the day, and then we'll catch up because... I'm running behind. I got to get going to some meetings that I have, and hopefully that you are learning something and have an open mind with it all. Do some of your own research, and we could definitely talk about it on Tando Radio Show on Tuesday. If you'd like to have questions or comments about it, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660. So I'm going to play this all the way through now, and once it ends, that will end the show for the day, and then it's never goodbye. I'll see you later. Excuse my voice is gone. And we'll talk to you soon. And we'll talk to you, God willing, on tomorrow. Much love, much respect. Talk to you soon. Here we're going to play the rest of it. It's about, just to give you a clue, it's about 30 minutes more. And then we will see you all, God willing, later on. Talk to you soon. Peace.
I haven't talked about this much, but Marduk is involved. Marduk is the New World Order force that is heading up what's going on in Europe.
Okay, actually, that is the end. Greetings, everyone. This is Scotty, the station manager for Black Talk Radio. As you probably already know, that was a pre-recorded program from this morning that Dave asked me to play for him. If there are any questions or comments, don't ask me any questions. Well, I'll try to answer. But if you have any questions or commentary to share and insights to share on what you just heard, then you can hit *61 from the conference line, and I'll go ahead and bring you on air and let you share with the people. So I'm going to take a short music break, and then when I come back on the other side, I'll check the conference line, and if there is anyone who would like to share, then I will bring you on air. If not, we'll go ahead and close out the program, and thank you for tuning in to Tando Radio Show here on Black Talk Radio. And so we'll be back, and I'll check the board on the other side. We'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
We have to begin to move to control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, White Power Press, White People's Paper, and White People's Power, are enemies against black people. What the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.
So instead of legislation, in my opinion, it takes education. The whites have to be re-educated so that the racism that they have in their hearts can be eliminated, and our people have to be re-educated so that we will know how to do something for ourselves, instead of waiting for others to do it for us all the time.
This is Monroe, North Carolina. The town where local NAACP president Robert Williams created headlines when he said, "Sometimes violence must be met with violence." Many asked why.
You know, we do whatever we do to survive.
Right? Drop it!
Some of the people who had thought that it would be better to settle these cases violently, I had been able to persuade them that we should use the courts and go into the courts. So this thing had boomeranged, and I was being held responsible for having brought these cases to court. There was a trial where a Negro maid had been kicked down a flight of stairs by a white man, and that this man hadn't even bothered to come to his own trial, and that he had also been acquitted. And there was a demonstration as a result of this in the courtroom by the Negro women of the community. And they had approached me and had said, "Well, you said that you would see that these people would be punished because through the organization we would have competent counsel, and that if it hadn't been for you, that these people would have been punished." And they wanted to know what I would recommend that they do from then on. And so I recommended that they meet violence with violence, that Negroes must be prepared to repulse attack, that they must be willing to fight, that they must be willing to die and to kill if necessary, that there was no law, there was no 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution of equal protection in the South, and that therefore they didn't have any deterrent, so they would have to create the deterrent force themselves by meeting violence with violence.
And welcome back to Tando Radio Show right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. I'm going to check the phone lines, and if we do have a caller. Thank you for calling in. Please go ahead, area code 786. I believe that's 786. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, Scotty. This is Eddie.
Greetings.
Maryland.
Greetings, Eddie.
Yes, I was calling to put like a comment concerning the what they played.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to Dr. Yosef Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And he did explain a few things about, you know, the Egyptian gods. Is he referring to the same gods, you know, Dr. Ben spoke about, the Osiris Horus?
It sounds like it.
The way he explains it, it looks like they're more of a Greek phenomenon rather than an Egyptian.
I do know, no, those are Egyptian gods. They use the same names, and I'm referring to the guys that was on the clip.
Right.
I am familiar with those names, and Isis is an Egyptian goddess. So mm-hmm. I have a SETI. Is it SET or SETI? You know, and I'm not really, you know, knowledgeable about this particular area, although I have heard of it before. I'm just going to be honest. I haven't done any real in-depth studying, but I always keep an open mind. It sounds like the same names of the Egyptian gods is what they were saying.
Right. Okay. Because that's what I'm trying to figure it out. Because I have Dr. Ben's books, and I'm really getting to, you know, learning all of his works, because he left a lot of work actually on those issues, mm-hmm. and especially how, you know, Christianity is used to enslave black people. So.
Right.
Thanks a lot for answering, because, you know, I want to be clear on that.
Let me ask you a question, though, so I'll be more knowledgeable. What's the name of this particular book by Dr. Ben that you're saying, you know, he's talking about these things? What's the name of that book, and what was the gist of that book? What was he laying out in that book?
All right. The name of the book is Understanding the African Philosophical Concept Behind the Diagram of the Law of Opposites.
Okay.
And he also has the Chronology of the Bible.
Okay.
So, yes. So, he explains quite in details about, you know, the way the Greeks copied the mm-hmm. Egyptian mystery systems,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, they make it their own. And now, you know, to the centuries of, you know, distorting the Egyptian, mystery systems, and then destroying the lodges that were in Egypt. So all of those writing becomes European, and now they're no longer African.
Right. There is a clip. I'm looking for it now. There is a guy by the name of Sincere Nokwari. And he listens to this station, but he makes beats for, you know, like rap music and stuff. And so,
yes, I've listened to him,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so he has sent me over some tracks for God Life Beats. I think it was Volume 1. And I'm not sure if that was Dr. Ben or if it was somebody else, but he covers that. I'm trying to load up my software now. Not load up my software, but load up the playlist so I can play it. Because it sounds like he's talking about the same thing. Now, let me ask you this before, as I look for that. And does Dr. Ben or anybody else within the African scholarship community, do they talk about any other worldly origins of, for lack of a better word, mankind, as we heard in that clip?
Well, from what we've learned, I mean, it's not just Dr. Ben. It's most of the writings that were done before Dr. Ben, John Henry Clark, and Dr. Antio Diop, mm-hmm. and other African scholars. It was a lot of Greek scholars that, you know, they referred to, and who was giving you the history before racism.
Okay.
That, you know, come in play in the 1500s, 1400s.
Right.
So a lot of those writings are white radical writers. They were referred to because they do not make it European. They give it as it as they know it.
Okay.
So you have, I would have to go in the book and give you names of other white scholars. Church wards and other ones. There's quite a few of them.
And they talk about otherworldly origins, off planet origins.
No,
okay.
Now, because remember, the Book of the Dead. The proper name is the book of the book is the name is the Book of Coming Forth by Day and by Night.
Come in by day or by night is the official name of what we're calling the Book of the Dead.
Yes, not by day and by night, but it's the Book of the Dead. Is that something the Europeans give it?
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that that phrase in that book. I've heard that the origin story found in the Bible is actually found in, is it the Book of the Dead, or were they saying the virgin birth story is found in the Book of the Dead?
No, it's the Book of the Dead. That's where the Horus and Osiris and, you know, those mythological writings come from. And, you know, also the pyramid text, and they all come from there also.
Okay. Now, I have heard, again, this is not an area that I really focus on, but I always keep an open mind. I'm always open to new information and what have you. But I've heard allegations that, you know, the pyramids were built by non-humans or under their direction or something like that, because people trying to figure out, well, how did they achieve this great architectural feat without modern day equipment and whatnot. I used to work in construction, so I really appreciate that question on, well, how were they able to construct that without modern day equipment?
Well, you know, those books, no, I mean, the pyramids, they're not going to give the African the credits, but anything that was that was taken from Africa, we no longer have them. Now, the museum in Egypt, Europe, they go to Europe. England have the oldest African artifacts. And,
stolen. And we should say this is stolen loot. This is stolen.
They credit those to UFOs, but then you have to ask yourself, how come the UFOs only landed in Africa and not in Europe, but you have the most interest in those artifacts?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I've heard the same thing referring to pyramids all over the world, like aliens or something built all of these pyramids, including the Incas. I think they were talking about the Incas in that clip that Dave played. So I'm not sure. It's very interesting. You know, like I said, I try to keep an open mind, but I have, you know, my own spiritual beliefs and things. But, you know, to be honest with you, I have had what people would call a UFO experience, you know, but that was only one time. And just to share that story, I was still living in Detroit at the time, and we were over my uncle and aunt's house, and we were and they live on a dead end street. And at the end of the street is this big, I mean, I ain't never come across a park or a playground. It had a pool. It had a baseball diamond. It had, of course, you know, the playground equipment. I mean, this was a huge, huge park. And it, you know, several different streets connected to this park. So one night we're all out. I was probably about 11 years old. We're all out in the street. It's at nighttime, you know, just doing kids stuff, playing. And then we see what we thought was a helicopter at first, and it landed in the ball field, maybe like 50 yards from where we were. And it had like these lights that seemed like three-pointed lights on the side of it that would go around in a circular motion. So, man, we was like telling our parents, call the news station, call the news station, and it's a UFO then landed up here. So then that next morning, they made us come in the house. So that next morning, we all went up there, and we found a perfect circle where this thing landed in the grass. I kid you not. I ain't got no reason to lie. And to me, a UFO just means an unidentified flying object. Doesn't necessarily mean it came from outer space or anything, but that has been my only UFO experience.
Exactly. So you're right. It doesn't mean it came from outer space somewhere, but, you know, the scholars, you know, African scholars, I don't think they have ever denied other life forms.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about the universe now.
Right.
We couldn't be the only one, you know, in the universe.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Being, you know,
yeah, I don't believe we're the only ones. It's too many galaxies out there, too many planets, just too many unknowns. And
unknowns.
Yeah. So
the issue becomes, why then the African land that you have all those archaeological facts fighting, and you know the universities were there, you have, you know, evidence of that, and you have all those writing, then you, you know, in our history, we do not, that is not preach or, you know, teach. You know,
right, I feel where you're coming from. Yeah, I feel where you're coming from. All of the ancient texts from Africans that we know produced by Africans. Again, I'm not speaking from what I know because I haven't done a lot of research, but it seems like you have, and you haven't come across anything like that.
Exactly. I mean, very recently we have, you know, you have guys, you know, mentioned that African contributed nothing to world history, you know.
No, that's
world history,
crazy.
Civilization. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right,
but
right.
But then, you know, right. Who was writing the textbook? Mm.
Well, we do got another caller. I want to get to this caller before we run out of time, but I want to thank you for your contribution.
And thank you for responding, and I'm going to be listening.
All right.
Thank you for your work.
You're welcome, sir. Okay, let's go to 609. Thank you for calling in. You're on the Tando Radio Show here on Black Talk Radio Network. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Greetings to you, Scotty. This is Ross. How you doing?
I'm okay, Ross. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. I like the discussion. It's very lively. I was going to say, yes, I've heard the track that you played by Sincere Nokwari, and that is Dr. Ben.
I thought it was.
I do remember that well. One thing I do remember, just to piggyback off of what the previous caller was talking about, was Dr. Ben actually viscerally called out white people who said that aliens came down here to build the pyramids. Like, he thought that that was just the worst form of white supremacy ever, utilized by white people to take credit away from African people for doing what they actually did.
Right.
I remember a number of years back, they actually found the living quarters and the gravesite for the people who actually built the Giza complex. And what they found was that those people were basically conscripted to do what would be considered in modern times a public works project.
Right.
So essentially, the building of the pyramids and these temple complexes were public works projects built by black people. So this was not something that was done by aliens. I've heard that theory before. Now, yeah. In reference to, to African Africans who have spoken of origins in the sky, let's say, I know that the Zulu people speak of our origins or their origins in Sirius, the Sirius constellation.
Okay.
The Egyptians also speak about that intimate connection to the Sirius constellation as well. So there is literature that deals with that. Also, Native American traditions, certain ones also speak to their ancestors also coming from the sky as well. I don't know exactly which particular constellation, but
okay.
That's also been spoken of.
Hmm.
So there is information out there that connects us to these cosmic spaces. But
okay.
As far as African scholars, essentially they viscerally, from what I know from my studies and going to these people's lectures since I was a very young child with my father, they basically felt that white people used that theory to basically take credit away from African people for building the pyramids.
Makes sense.
In reference to what the speakers were talking about in the clips that you were playing, when they talk about this whole process, well, one thing I want to say first is, from what I'm hearing, they're going from the Anunnaki as, I guess, them thinking that's the oldest, and everything else came after that.
Right, that's
what
I got from it,
speaking
too.
About.
Yeah.
Now, from what I know, Dr. Ben did a lecture in London where he discusses the fact that when he was digging in the fields in Nubia and in Egypt, he found that the oldest symbols of Nile Valley high culture, as far as the Ankh, the crook and the flail, all of those sacred symbols that carried down the Nile, go back at least 4 million years. This is from his archaeological and anthropological digging that he actually did. So essentially, if our ancestry goes back 4 million years, then that super trumps anything that they did in Sumeria, number one. Number two, I saw a documentary, and people can actually purchase it on Amazon. It's called The First People. It was done, I believe it was earlier this year, on PBS, where they did genetic testing that showed that the diminutive blacks, which would be the Twa, the Hutu, the San people in South Africa, that their DNA goes back 6 million years.
Mm.
So essentially what that's saying is remember that if you've studied archaeology or anthropology, excuse me, they always talk about the oldest hominids, which are not modern humans, but the so-called precursors to humans.
But they were bipedal, though, right? They were bipedals?
Right, bipedal hominids, which are not fully human. They just look, they would look similar to humans. And what they found was that the oldest of them went back 6 million years. They're talking about like Lucy and all of those particular people that they were talking about, these hominids. Now, if the Twa and the Hutu, which are to this day considered modern people, if their DNA goes back 6 million years, that means that they were here at the same time that these hominids were here. And they have records that multiple variations of hominids lived side by side at different times in human history. So we're getting a lot, simply because when you hear white people speak of archaeology and modern humans, they always say that modern humans go back 200,000 years, and they go back to Ethiopia, and they say that's where modern man, the oldest bones of modern man, was found. Now, what they're not telling you is that they're talking about tall human beings, meaning human beings that are taller than 4 feet, which is what the normal height of diminutive blacks are. Still to this day, if you go into the Congo or you go to South Africa, these people usually are about 4 feet, a little give or take a couple of inches. They're roughly about 4 feet tall.
Okay.
So ultimately, what they're telling you is that the variation of human beings from short to tall would have taken place 200,000 years ago. But going back 6 million years ago, you had diminutive blacks that are exactly the same as us today. They're just short in stature that were around at that time, which would also corroborate Dr. Ben's field research, which from what he found, he dated those symbols back up to 4 million years. So we've been here, black people have been here a lot longer than what they're telling us. And the other aspect was piqued my interest was when they were talking about the concept of an avatar and the whole idea of these deities taking over the human body. Now, that is something that has always happened in African traditional religion and still happens.
I mean, that's like spiritual possession, you know.
Exactly. Exactly, like when you study the Yoruba people or the Akan or even our people who practice the Kemetic tradition, the use of the drum was what they would use to call the gods down, and the gods would basically take over that person within the context of that ritual. So essentially, if you wanted to commune with, let's say, Heru, which would be considered Shango in the Yoruba tradition, they would facilitate a particular ritual to call him down. And once that person was possessed by the deity, they would give him that deity's sacred symbols. He would wear royal outfits that were made of their colors. So like Shango's colors are identical to Heru, which would be red and white. Essentially, they would also give them other symbols. One of Shango's symbols would be the double-headed axe. For Ogun, which would be considered Herakuti in the Kemetic tradition, he would use a machete. So these are all things that have happened for millions of years in African traditional religion and still happen to this day. And when those deities possess people, they basically would speak through those people to make either admonitions or predictions or even to facilitate someone who had a particular illness or a particular issue that they needed to conquer. They would tell them what specific rituals to do to overcome that situation. So essentially what these white people are describing is something that has been in our tradition for millions of years. So ultimately the whole idea of avatars, and then when they talked about, it was funny, one of them said they can take you over permanently. Now, essentially, in African tradition, when the deity is done with that particular ritual, when they close the ritual out, they actually send the deity away. Because ultimately, each human being, like I talked about before, we are small units of the deity. So in the Kemetic tradition, they compare human God to an ocean of consciousness, and each human being would be considered a drop out of that ocean of God's consciousness. So we are basically mini gods. That's what we are. So essentially, in the tradition, it's believed that the human, the individual human, is not a big enough container for these deities.
Right.
So they're able to take over you for a brief period of time, take over your body, do whatever they have to do, and then you send them back to the spiritual realm with which they came from.
Let me stop you for a second because you're sharing a lot, but I want to interject something. Now,
sure.
See, I haven't done that kind of studying that you and, you know, the other caller and others have. You know, unfortunately, I just wasn't exposed to that type of material. Therefore, you know, I didn't pick it up and what have you. But I'm learning more, you know, in my older years, you know, not that I'm an old man or anything, but I'm starting to hear more and learn more as I get exposed to it. But I have read the Bible like probably 10 times from front to cover. At one time I was preaching at a church. I wasn't a ordained minister or anything, but I was working towards that. Okay. I had many spiritual experiences to where I do believe in other dimensions or other beings able to occupy this realm. But what I'm hearing, just from what I'm hearing, like, for example, when you said that we're like, you know, copies or you say it the way you said it about us being little deities. How did you put it?
Yes. I'll use the Kemetic tradition because I think it's the easiest way to explain it. Okay. Now, if an ocean is filled with water, right? If you take a drop out of that ocean, the
still
drop
part
that you
of the
take
ocean,
has
right.
the same qualities as the ocean itself,
right.
but on a smaller scale.
Right.
So
right.
essentially, if we are individual drops out of the consciousness of the all, which we some people call the creator, essentially we have the same abilities as
but
the
see,
creator
see, that's,
on a
that's,
smaller scale.
That's what I'm saying is when I hear people who have knowledge like you have share these things, and it triggers yeah. things in my mind that come from the Bible. And so that's just more evidence. And like I tell people, you know, when I have these conversations, because I rarely have these conversations, but with family members and we talking about this, I was like, well, my position is this, is that, you know, I do believe that they put that Bible together from different ancient books that they found or whatever. And but my own personal belief is that I can find truth in the Bible, but everything in the Bible ain't true. Okay, but when you say things like we're, you know, like the little gods and stuff like that's in the biblical scriptures. It does say that, you know, you create your own world by the words that you speak. You know what I'm saying? That's called some people in the secular call it positive speaking and whatnot. And but yeah. you know, you're referred to as the children of God in the Bible. You are said to be able to tap into that same kind of power and do the very same things that a god could do. So what I'm hearing from African culture, what you're telling me, I can see it's the scriptures are coming up in my mind from the Bible. So I know that's where they got it from, is Africa.
Oh yeah, and when you're talking about the creation of the Bible, you have the what they call the Pert Emheru, which is the what they modern people, white people, call the Egyptian Book of the Dead. So that's one place where you can find quite a bit of your modern Bible in the origins of it. You also have the coffin text, you have the pyramid text, you have the Wisdom of Amenopi, where there's direct plagiarization of certain verses and proverbs in there. You have the hymn that Akhenaten wrote is called the Hymn to the Aten, which is basically was directly plagiarized. I believe it was Psalms 108, and it's like practically a word-for-word translation directly from Akhenaten's hymn.
Wow.
So the information's there. And then the books that the other brother was talking about, as far as the chronology of the Bible, and the Book of the Dynamic Laws of Opposites, that's a book that my dad gave me back in like the 80s. And it's a powerful book that explains a lot of our spiritual principles in the African traditional system. And you can find even the origins of the Ayurveda and even Chinese medicine in the Dynamic Laws of Opposites that Dr. Ben expounds on. So the information is definitely there for people who want to know. If you want to know more about the Zulu specifically and their discussions of their origins in the stars, there's a great book called Indaba, My Children. It's Indaba, My Children, by Credo Mutwa. And he is essentially a descendant of one of Shaka Zulu's highest-ranking generals, and right now he is the highest priest in South Africa, traditional African priest. And he has quite a few stories of encounters with otherworldly beings. I know people personally from the continent, from Ghana, from Nigeria, who have told me their personal experiences with what people would consider otherworldly beings. And some of the things that they talk about would be mind-blowing to the average black person. Matter of fact, there's a great book written by a brother named Maladoma Somme. It's called Of Water and Spirit. And he tells the story of how he was kidnapped by, I believe it was French missionaries. Yes, it was French missionaries in West Africa. And he was forced to become Christian, and he was also basically sexually assaulted in this church situation. He escaped from the church, went back to his people. After being kidnapped, he was forced into the school system for like almost 20 years. At the age of like 20, 21, he escaped, went back to his people, and because he had not gone through his initiation into manhood, even though he was a physical adult, in African tradition, if you don't go through that initiation into man or womanhood, you're still considered a child. So in other words, you would be considered a child for your rest of your life. You could be 80 years old, and if you never went through that initiation, they will still treat you and look at you as if you were a spiritual child. Mm-hmm. And when he went through that initiation, he tells of some of the most incredible experiences. And this is direct firsthand accounts of stuff that he experienced, because the initiatic process, especially for someone who did not do it at the proper age, can be life-threatening. So he explains all of that in the book. Matter of fact, in the very beginning of the book, when his grandfather passes away, his grandfather died away from his home in the family compound. And one of my closest friends from Ghana, he's an initiate of the spiritual tradition, is actually the tradition, basically they're called the people of the Tekken, which is basically an obelisk. And to this day, whenever a family member passes away, they erect an obelisk, and people leave offerings to the obelisk in honor of that particular ancestor to this very day. And he had told me, too, that when you have a high-ranking spiritual person, because he actually lives not too far where Maladoma Somme is from, and he said they're not allowed to die off of their compound grounds. They're supposed to die in their homes. And because he died away from his home, it was considered a spiritual travesty. So literally, they had a couple of high priests go to where he passed away, and they were able to make his dead body get up and walk. And they walked his body from where he died back to his compound. So when you're talking about people being raised from the dead, you will hear, if you read that book, and it's not a big book, if you read that book, you will hear a firsthand account of a dead person getting up and walking from where they passed away back to their compound. And when he arrived to the compound, again, he expired.
What's the name of the book again?
Go ahead.
The book, what's the name again?
Oh, it's called Of Water and Spirit.
Of Water and Spirit.
Of Water and Spirit. And the author is Maladoma. That's M as in Mary, A-L-I-D-O-M as in Mary, A. Last name is Somme, S-O-M-E.
Wow. Well, Ross,
and that's a powerful text.
I want to thank you, man, for calling in and sharing all that information, man, because like I said, you know, I'm not knowledgeable on a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I love, you know, the different people who come on Black Talk Radio Network and share information, and what you just shared was mind-blowing. So I want to thank you as we get ready to close out.
No problem. I was going to say, if you wanted to find out more information, I can actually send you some books that will kind of expound on the concepts that I talked about as far as us being deities and how that works. One good one is, I would say, probably The Metuneta by Ra'un Neferi-Men. It's volume one. I would say that's a powerful book, and any books by him will really get deeper into it, but that's the one you want to start with. And then another brother named Muwatta Ashby also has an entire library of texts that he writes in reference to Kemetic spirituality and just how powerful black people are. I've always said this before. If we only knew what we were capable of, I think we would be shocked to our bones as far as what's been taken from us as a people on a holistic level. Like, we have abilities that are just unfathomable to the average person.
Oh, I believe it because I've tapped into some of those abilities, you know. At that time period of my life, I was real focused. I was like meditating hours a day. I was just totally not, you know, I was really just totally focused on developing my spiritual life at that time. And there are things that occurred that I came out of that were meant to destroy me, that there was no way that I came out of it on my own power. So I believe it,
yes,
man.
Sir.
All right, Ross. Yes, well, sir. If you could send me a book reading list like that to my email, I sure. certainly appreciate it, man. Just hit me up at admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com. I would certainly love to get that reading list and check out those books.
No problem. admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you, too. And thanks for the show tonight, too. It's awesome.
You're welcome. All right. We're going to shut it down. That concludes our live streaming for tonight. I will be back on air. No, tomorrow's Tuesday, so the first live program will be 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Change Matters Solutions, which is hosted by Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams. 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Then I'll be back on air with BTR News at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and Tando Radio Show will be on at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And we hope that Dave is taking care of his throat so that he don't lose his voice and whatnot, because I was feeling the same thing last week. All right, so I want to thank everybody for tuning in, especially the two callers who called in and shared that great information with us. As I close out my regular program, just be safe out there, okay? Recognize that we do live behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc. People are dying and being enslaved every day, and so you just got to be aware of your surroundings at all times. And, of course, it helps, always helps to be codified, because that can help you survive some of these adverse situations. Y'all be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up.